Our time now coming up to 8:11. It's a Tuesday. It's the K-Zone Morning Commute, 105.3 FM, AM 1280 WPKZ. And now it's time to take a look at our vehicles and the fact that winter's here. What do we do to keep our vehicles on the road, keep them running properly, keep them properly maintained, and so we have a trouble-free winter on the roads? For this and other questions, we look for answers from the man they call the car doctor, John Paul from AAA Northeast. John, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Happy New Year.
Good morning, Sherman, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners as well.
I trust your holiday was a good one?
It was socially distant, I guess. Yeah, it was pretty quiet.
Yeah, those are the two words I'm hearing. Have yourself a socially distant Christmas. I can see Burl Ives singing that, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but now we've moved on. 2021 is a brand new year, and now that we're in 2021, there is this thing called winter, the season that is here, and we're seeing our share of cold temperatures, and it's going to get colder before it gets warmer. We know the days are going to be longer, which is great. We also know the temperatures are going to get colder, which for our cars is not so great.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, yesterday morning I woken up by a sander truck going by my house, and this morning I was surprised to see about an inch of snow on top of my car. So between those two things, yeah, this 2021, we have winter coming still. We've been pretty lucky. We've had a couple of storms, but it is not the snow that's so much hard on a car. It's the cold weather. It's when you get two or three or four really cold days in a row, that's when it really takes the toll on your car, your car's battery, and all the mechanical parts that are moving inside your car, because cars really don't like to operate when the temperature is under 32 degrees.
And right now, that's where we are, at least in our area right now, 32 degrees. We'll see temperatures dropping into the 20s for the next few nights. Now, when it comes to getting that car started first thing in the morning, is there like a 1-2-3 thing that we should do when it comes to getting the car started as we start that day, as we start to get it going first thing?
Years back, it was when cars had carburetors and they had mechanical chokes, you would go out and, clean off your car if there was snow on it, but you would get in the car and you would pump the gas pedal a couple of times. That would get an extra squirt of fuel into the engine. It would close the mechanical choke, and then as the engine cranked over, that between that shot of fuel that went in the engine and the choke being closed, it would literally suck gas right out of the gas tank into the engine, and that's what would get the car going. Back then, cars didn't start a lot of times in the wintertime because the choke plate in the carburetor would get stuck or other problems with gas line freeze up and things like that. Today's cars are all fuel injected. They have less problems, but they still have problems. And if a car has had a lack of maintenance, so spark plugs weren't changed when they were supposed to be. And when I first started to repair cars, years and years and years ago, it was not uncommon to have somebody come in and replace the spark plugs and points and condenser and distributor cap twice a year. Today, spark plugs can last 50, 60, 100,000 miles. And what happens is people kind of forget about them. And if the car is sort of running okay, they leave it alone. And these cold days is when the problems start to happen. So when you get out there and start your car, get out there, turn the key, crank it over. If it doesn't start within the first 15 or 20 seconds, let it rest for about a minute, crank it over again, try again. Sometimes it's just enough, especially if the battery's a little bit weak, to free up all that kind of thick, gooey oil that's keeping the engine from cranking over just a little bit faster. So good preventative maintenance. Stay with whatever says in the owner's manual. Change the spark plugs when they need to be. Change the oil when it needs to be. And make sure that engine coolant is protecting the engine well below zero. And make sure you have a good battery in your car, and your car should start up and run perfectly.
This is Derek, and I used to live in Alaska, and I'm listening to how you're talking about the cars with the carburetors, and you got to warm them up. We actually had to plug in heater blocks into a 110-volt plugs to keep the engine block warm overnight. Otherwise, the car would not start at all. The oil would freeze inside the vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, a lot of people who go up to ski country will buy cars with either a factory-installed block heater, or they'll get a dipstick heater, a thing that you take out the dipstick and you stick it where the dipstick goes, and you plug it into 110 volts. In fact, I'm not a skier, but I've been to ski resort areas, and they have plugs set up all around some of the parking areas. So if you have a car that's difficult to start, or a diesel, for instance, there's a place where you can plug it in and let it stay warm overnight so it will start up the next day.
I have one other quick question. Because we're in New England here and Tom Brady country, obviously, people don't think about the effect the cold air has on your tires. But it takes a lot of air out of your tires, especially when you wake up in the morning and they're like almost flat because it's so cold out.
Well, that goes back to Super Bowl games and deflated footballs, but it's absolutely the same thing. What happens is when the temperature changes by about 10 degrees, you can lose about a pound of air in your tires. So if, you know, a few days ago you checked your tires and it was say 50 degree day, and all of a sudden it's a 10 degree day, you've lost 4 or 5 pounds of air pressure in your tires. Now, if your tires were a little underinflated to start off with and you lose that 4 or 5 pounds, now all of a sudden your tires may be underinflated enough where if your car has tire pressure monitor system, it will turn the light on and warn you you have a low tire.
Yeah, there's some cars that have that. I noticed for the first time with the car I have, there's that warning light that goes on, and that's happened to me twice, where first it was the front set of tires, then again, with the rear tire. So hopefully I'm set for the winter season, even though there are going to be some more cold days. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. But then again, if it's cold enough, that's going to happen. Back to something you mentioned earlier about getting the car started. This is something I've tried. At least it seemed to work for me, whether it's true or not. Maybe this is something that you try, or maybe this is maybe like not the smartest thing to do. Sometimes when other cars I've had, I would turn on the headlights first to see if they're working. Then if the headlights were working, I would then start the engine. Does that make a difference, or is that something you say, don't do that?
Well, it is one of those things that there's a little truth in there, and kind of a kernel of truth, I guess, in there. To me, I always would think that if you turn the headlights on, you've already stressed the battery a little bit. But electrical engineers will tell you that when you turn the headlights on, you actually sort of energize the battery a little bit, because you're putting not that full load that the starter puts on the battery when you go to crank the engine over. So it sort of excites the electrons inside the battery, which may take that marginal battery and give it that one little extra step you need to get the car going. To me, if that's what you need to get your car going, go out and buy a battery.
So that if it happens, then go out and buy a new battery, okay, which makes sense. Now, when we talk about battery life, we're usually saying, is 3 years for a good battery life here in Massachusetts?
Well, the average life of a battery, according to everything that we see at AAA, is about 5 years, a little bit under 5 years. A lot of batteries, like if you got a battery from AAA, the first 3 years it's guaranteed 100%, and then the additional 3 years it's a 6-year warranty battery is prorated. But we have seen batteries fail as early as 2 years, and we have seen batteries last as long as 7 or 8 years. It really depends on how that battery was taken care of. If you're somebody who periodically doesn't remember to shut your headlights off, and you come out in the morning and your battery's dead, every time your battery goes completely dead and it needs to be recharged, you're probably taking away 15 or 20% of that battery life. So then what happens is, you know, you've done that 2 or 3 times, and even though that battery might only be a couple of years old, it's now really had, you know, 5 or 6 years worth of life taken out of it. So if you maintain your battery, and we have a car that doesn't get driven much, especially now during the pandemic, and it's an older car, the battery in it's a couple years old, and I have it on a little specialized battery charger because it's probably not going to go out much. It's just kind of sitting out in the driveway. So I have it on this battery charger, and it helps maintain the battery and keep it fully charged, and that way it keeps more of the life in the battery. So, you know, if you have a car that doesn't get driven much, one of these battery maintainers is a great idea.
Derek's got a question, but Derek, I'm going to ask you, hold that thought for a moment. We'll come back. We'll come to you with a question. Our time, 8:20. We've got to take another look at the roads. We'll do that. Then Derek has another question for John Paul, the car doctor from AAA Northeast, all coming up next on the K-Zone, WPKZ.
Don't have a question. I'm just going to make a comment about his battery thing, which is that, you know, I used to own a Volkswagen Rabbit, and the battery in that just kept going, going. It's called humor, sir. I'm not gonna come in there with it now. No, I have 2 second thing to say, and the only clock that we're on, it's hard set, is our own.
8:21, our time of this Tuesday. This check of the roads and the weather is sponsored by Spadafore Oil and Energy. For those of you traveling towards our area by way of Route 2, it's the westbound side that's busy this morning. They finished work Route 2 westbound at Taylor Street. The Taylor Street exit, they had crews working on the guardrail. That work is done. Then we've got crews busy working at 110, 111, right after that area in the Harvard area, and also busy working Jackson Road in Devon. So you've got this stretch of roadway where you're going to find traffic down to one lane in this for a good part of that stretch that is going to slow you down. So beware of that if you're traveling west towards our neck of the woods. It's been a good ride so far from our transportation. Good ride for the commuter rail. Once again, the commuter rail is on a reduced service schedule through this coming Friday. We'll keep you posted as to whether that schedule changes. As for a weather, cloudy skies, highs mid-30s, 32 degrees, our temperature 8:22. More with a car doctor coming up here on the K-Zone Morning Commute. Coming up to 8:23, it's the K-Zone Morning Commute, 105.3 FM, AM 1280 WPKC. We're talking with the car doctor, John Paul, from AAA Northeast. We're talking about winter driving. We've been talking about batteries. Now, also, when you talk about cold weather, fuel lines. Fuel lines today, as we mentioned, they're different from, let's say, fuel lines in cars as compared, let's say, like the 80s and 90s. That's changed. So even though the temperatures are cold, do you still need to add, like, fuel line additives to keep those open?
It used to be years ago that, first off, gas stations, they were more likely to get moisture contamination inside the big storage tanks. The second thing that would happen is gas tanks were made out of metal. A lot of gas tanks today are made out of plastic. As the temperature would cool overnight, those metal gas tanks would form condensation on the inside of the tank. That condensation would drip off into the fuel, and then you could have a problem with gas line freeze-up. Today, we don't see that as often because a lot of gas tanks are sort of a plastic-style tank. But still, if you suspect that, for instance, maybe you didn't tighten your gas cap down on a rainy day or you left it off, you just forgot about it, adding a bottle of gasoline antifreeze, which is basically a type of alcohol, isn't going to hurt anything. And doing it once a season is certainly not a waste of money. It's only a couple dollars, and it certainly can't hurt. And if there is any moisture or condensation in the gas tank, either depending on what type of product it is, either the alcohol mixes with the water and then it burns, it gets drawn out together with the fuel, or it mixes with the water and then in turn mixes with the gasoline and then gets burned together. But either way, it gets the water out of the gas tank. So it's gasoline antifreeze. It's specialized. Don't think you can get like regular rubbing alcohol because that's already absorbed all the water it possibly can. So gasoline antifreeze at an auto parts store once a year certainly can't hurt.
Now, earlier in the conversation, you were talking about spark plugs and things like that, replacing the plugs. I'm thinking replacing the plugs and other things, those are a part of a tune-up. Do we see people looking at the cars and saying, you know, now's a good time to tune up the car? Usually when people are tuning up the car, they wait till the weather's nicer. Is the winter season a good time to tune up the vehicle?
Late fall before going into winter is a great time to do it because when winter comes around, a lot of shops get busy because, you know, cars are breaking down a little bit more often, so that keeps them a little bit busier. So doing it a little bit early is better. That's sort of why we call October car care month, and the same thing with April, spring car care. Both of those times are good. It used to be we talked about tune-ups all the time, and we don't do that anymore because there are less parts to be replaced, but air filters can still get dirty. In some cars, fuel filters still need to be replaced. PCV valves that keep the crankcase ventilation system working still need to be replaced. There's some other filters, part of the evaporative emission system, that may need to be replaced. So there's still filters that need to be changed. Spark plugs, because of unleaded gasoline and better spark plug design combined with fuel injection, tend to last a lot longer. But like I said before, they don't last forever. And because cars run so good today, that people do think they'll kind of last forever, and all of a sudden the car starts to run poorly, and they go, what's wrong with my car? Well, the spark plugs have been in there for 95,000 miles, and they should have been replaced at 60,000, and that's why the car's not running right.
Now, what we're talking about, because we've been talking about cars that run with gasoline or cars that run with diesel fuel. Fast forward to the here and now, we're now looking at cars that run with electricity. What are challenges of maintaining an electric car during a winter season?
Not really that much. You still have the same tire issues. You still have to deal with tires and make sure the tires are in good shape. Electric cars have far less maintenance than a gasoline car does. Some still require the cooling system to be serviced. Some don't. The cooling system is designed to help cool the electric motor and in some cases provides the heat for the cabin of the car. Other cars use like a electric heater just like you might have in your house. And the electric cars, one of the things we're seeing, even the best electric cars that have high mileage range, like a Chevrolet Bolt that's good to 250,000 miles or a Tesla 250 miles or a Tesla that's good for 300 miles, in very cold weather you may lose 20 or 30% of that range. So it's not really so much about maintenance, it's more about making sure the car is fully charged up for whatever that drive is you have ahead of you.
Now, one thing we've mentioned is the fact that we're living in the day of the coronavirus where people are working more at home, staying at home more often. We'll wrap up with this, the importance of making sure you get out and run the vehicle, because we've mentioned this before, that if you leave the car dormant, there is a possibility that critters are going to get inside the engine, and that can cause all kinds of problems. And depending on the critter, they might find not just places to nestle up and call home, they may wind up chewing parts of the engine to make sure they have more of a place to go home, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Critters can cause a big problem. In fact, I was talking to somebody who had a BMW hybrid electric supercar, an i8, and critters did $28,000 worth of damage to the car. And the other part of that is that people don't think about. Now, of course, this is an exotic car and very expensive, but it also affects the resale value as well. So when you have rodent damage like that, depending, it may show up on a Carfax report or something similar, and that's going to lower the value of the car because people don't like knowing that the car they're thinking about buying was home to, you know, mice and rats and all kinds of other things. So you're right, driving the car periodically, the critters like the warmth of the engine, but also your car needs to be exercised. So once every week or 10 days or so, go take it out for a good 30-minute ride. That way it's going to be warmed up. The fluids are all going to circulate. Top off that gas tank. If the gas tank's below half a tank, get it full. That's also going to help eliminate any moisture buildup in the car. And if you have a problem with critters, if you live near the woods or your garage tends to attract them, if you're fortunate enough to have a garage, first off, make sure you remove anything that would want to attract them, bird food, dog food, pet food, any kind of pet food, water, things like that. Seal up any openings, and you can try different kinds of critter sprays. There's one that smells like really strong peppermint that keeps mice and other little critters away, and then there's some that smell like a predator that would eat a mouse. So personally, I would prefer the one that smells like peppermint if I had a choice, if I was spraying it around my car.
One that smells like a predator might attract predators, you're thinking?
Well, it's not going to smell good. That's all I know.
That's a good point. If people have more questions, want to find out more about what to do to take care of their cars, best way to reach you?
The easiest way to get a hold of me, go to AAA.com/car doctor. There's a spot that says leave a message, and I try to answer questions as often as I can.
John Paul, as always, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Sherman. Take care.
Okay, you too. 8:30, we've got news coming up next on the KZone.